We're joined now by Lauren Scott, frequent guest on this show. It's been a while, though. Founder of his firm, Lauren Scott & Associates, which has been around for about 40 years, but most people remember him as a chair of the economics department at LSU. He was at the Old War School from 69 to 98, where he rose through the ranks from assistant professor to the holder of the Freeport MacMoran Chair, Endowed Chair of Economics, and he is currently Professor Emeritus of Economics at Louisiana State University. Good morning to you, Dr. Scott.
Good morning, Jim. Good to hear you.
I'm looking at the numbers for unemployment in Louisiana. Now, the national rate is 14.7%, which, of course, is awful, and this is depression-era kind of numbers, but in Louisiana, even worse, 18.7% in Lafayette, 21% in Baton Rouge, and 25% in New Orleans. How dangerous is it out there as far as the economic condition of our state and the country?
Well, this, you know, the numbers are horrific. I mean, the unemployment rate numbers that you mentioned, the worst job loss that the United States had incurred before this was way back in September of 1945, when we lost 7.6% of our jobs. In April, we lost 12.9%. So it's the numbers are horrific. But I think an important thing to keep in mind is that these layoffs are not because there's something fundamentally wrong with the economy. The layoffs are because of a mandated stay-at-home order, shelter-in-place order. If you go back to January and you look at the forecast for the national economy, in January, we were in 127th month of economic growth, the longest boom period in history. And all the forecasts were saying, hey, this is going to keep up well into 2021 unless there's some exogenous shock. There's some big bad thing coming from the outside. Well, as it turns out, there were two of them that hit, very connected to each other, the coronavirus and then the oil price shock. And so I really think that if we can get past the shelter-in-place order, that there are grounds for the U.S. and the state economy to start to grow again, because the underlying foundation was still very good. Now, Louisiana is going to recover slower than the rest of the country because we are getting hammered not only by the shelter-in-home place, but also by the oil price drop.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to talk with Dr. Lauren Scott. Now, people are creatures of habit, and the governor today at 2:30 is almost certainly going to lift the stay-at-home order, but there will be a soft rollout. Restaurants, for example, will have social distancing. People will be wearing masks. But as you know, some people have been hunkered down in their homes. They're scared to death. They're scared of their own shadow, and they're not coming out for a while. So just because the governor says, okay, you can go back to doing business somewhat as usual, doesn't mean that people are going to flock to stores and restaurants. So what does that mean long-term to our economy?
Well, I don't know about long-term. Of course, short-term, it's going to be not good. I mean, long-term, I'm pretty optimistic about the way it's going to turn out. It's not just me. There's a consensus forecast USA that comes out that I use a lot in my talks, and it's an average of about 45 different forecasting firms in the country. And basically, if you look at those forecasts, they're saying that we're going to have a remarkably strong third and fourth quarter, probably not quite a V, but not a real wide U either. They're thinking we're going to come out of this. Now, that's an average of about 45 firms. Now, the difference between the most pessimistic firm in that group and the most optimistic firm in that group is the widest that I've ever seen. There's a great deal of uncertainty out there. But I think because the underlying fundamentals of the economy are good, and again, if you look at the unemployment rate statistics for the United States, almost all of the people who are unemployed are indicating that they're temporary layoffs, they're not permanent layoffs. So again, this is something created by a governmental mandate. It's not because of something fundamentally wrong with the economy. So I'm more convinced that we're going to come out of this and we're going to be okay. It'd be interesting to see, Jim, if we have this same phone call again in September, looking back, what we're going to be saying. Are we going to be saying, boy, we overestimated the power of that thing, and we're doing quite well, or are we going to be thinking, oh, shoot, we're in the the second part of the W now, and it's even worse than we thought. There's just a lot of uncertainty out there right now, obviously.
Well, the stories have been plentiful about economic collapses, and we're in the midst of one. But Lawrence Scott is sounding a tone of optimism. The New York Times puts it this way: April 2020, more technically the period between the second week of March and the second week of April, was the worst month for American workers at least since the Great Depression and possibly in the history of the nation. Now, the government, of course, printed a lot of money, about $3 trillion worth of it, and a lot of people are doing okay right now, staying at home and getting unemployment. So how do we get them back on the beam?
Well, I think again, a lot of money has been. There's been a lot of things done, both fiscal policy and monetary policy, to help us through that. And I think that you and I were chatting before the show about the stock market and why the stock market is behaving the way it is. The stock market is actually up, and I think part of the reason for the stock market being up so much is because the it's a forward-looking instrument. And I think they're looking out there and thinking, hey, this is going to be more of a V, not a perfect V, but it's not going to be a real wide U kind of recovery. They're thinking it's going to be, they're kind of consistent with the consensus forecast USA group. So I think that's part of what's going on. And I think part of the reason they're thinking it's going to be like that is because the fiscal policy and the monetary policy has been very aggressive.
877-217-5757. We're going to part for the news with Karen Henderson and return with Lauren Scott after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 for Dr. Lauren Scott. 2,213 deaths reported in Louisiana. 182 in East Baton Rouge Parish. A parish that is the largest in the state with 440,000 people. But to put it in comparison, the state of Arkansas, one state ahead of us in geography, has 3.1 million people and has had 91 deaths in the whole state. So Louisiana has been hit ninth most deaths in the country from coronavirus. And the governor today at 2:30 is expected to say that come Saturday there will be no more stay-at-home order, but obviously there will be other precautions taken. And we'll see how it goes. But things are happening to the economy that will take, in some cases, years to get past, and that's if things get better. Who's to say there will be a vaccine? Who's to say this won't be around in a few years? But it has had all kinds of repercussions, and Dr. Scott, a listener, asked about the health industry. We hear about restaurants and stores and retail outlets, but here's a story from the New York Times on Saturday. For more than half a century, in good economic times and bad, healthcare jobs in the U.S. just kept increasing. Economists and health analysts thought of them as nearly recession-proof, a buffer against the business cycle, but like so many other patterns, the coronavirus pandemic has broken this relationship, with the virus and its fallout deterring Americans from using the health system. Healthcare jobs started being cut in March and plummeted last month by more than $1.4 million. Largely because people are putting off elective surgeries, not going to the doctor because they're afraid. They don't want to expose themselves or their families to coronavirus. So there are all kinds of repercussions to this pandemic. And as we stated earlier, it probably will take a while. Why do you think that come fall things are going to be so much better?
Well, again, looking at the forecast, not just one particular person's forecast, but the aggregate forecast, about 45 different firms, that's the first thing. And again, the stock market is somewhat of a leading indicator of what the expectations are of the market out there about the recovery. Now, the stock market, as I mentioned before, is looking at the future and also looking at the good boost that we've gotten from fiscal and monetary policy. But you can't just look at the stock market. I mean, the stock market is also growing because there are haves out there, and that's the tech companies that make up. There's about five tech companies that make up about 20% of the stock market, and they're doing great. Whereas the companies that are really having a real hard time right now, the oil and gas companies, only about 5% of the stock market. So there's some peculiarities in there, but I think it's really the most difficult forecasting time period I've ever seen. The 40 years I've been an economist, And I think it's just you're taking your very best shot at what's looking out there. We don't have any history to rely on for this. It's just thinking about the underlying basis of the economy being very strong, and I think that's part of the reason I'm thinking that way.
Here's another aspect of what is going on. President Trump criticized China for failing to hold up its end of a trade deal on Friday and said he was torn about the fate of the agreement signed in January, even as his closest economic advisors released a statement reassuring the world that the truce was intact. Trump's comments came hours after top trade and financial officials held talks via conference call, their first since the coronavirus pandemic ballooned in late January, and in separate statements, the two countries signaled their agreement was back on track. You're a big trade guy. What do you think about the president and his tariffs and China's total imports from the U.S. fell 5.6% in the first 4 months of this year compared to last year? What does this do to the economy?
Well, I mean, if you look at that, one of the reasons that people were thinking that, especially the, again, go back to January again, why we thought the national economy was really set up to grow for the next 2 years was because of the changes in the trade agreements. We'd actually come to phase one of a trade agreement with China, and it signed that in mid-January. That, again, made people think, this is going to be good for the economy. What happened, though, is the Chinese put an interesting little phrase in that agreement, and that is if there's any weird thing that happens out there that we're not aware of, then that agreement is null and void. Well, they already knew that there was a weird thing out there. They already knew that there was the coronavirus out there. And so, again, this is not a country that always deals with us in a very straightforward way. That's why the president has really been after them with trade, with tariffs and things. But things were moving in the right direction, I think, on the trade side before this all happened, and that was looking good. And I think ultimately China's going to have to come to the table, because there's a lot of firms right now have watched what's been going on, not only with the trade thing but with the coronavirus thing, and saying, We need to bring our supply chain back to the United States. We need to bring the production of pharmaceuticals back to the United States to protect ourselves. So you're going to see a lot of that happening over the next couple of years, and I think that's going to be very good for the manufacturing sector of our economy, if nothing else.
877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org for Dr. Lauren Scott. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Morning. Dr. Scott, do you agree with the Advocate editorial that the legislature should not give a tax break to big oil with the need now for public services with so many people unemployed?
Well, my guess is the legislature is not going to do that anyway, because a tax break for the oil industry, all of them were big, by the way, a lot of them were very small. I think that is going to be a tough sell to get through the legislature right now, because anything you do on that side involves a lot of money. It's not going to be a small hit to the budget. It's going to be a very big hit to the budget. And the state legislature is already going to end this fiscal year with a shortfall that is going to have to be paid for next fiscal year. And then again, I think next fiscal year, you're going to see a budget that's going to have to be smaller than this year. So the combination of all those things, plus the fact that's always looming out there, and that is, to the extent that there is any shortfall, it's going to fall on higher ed and healthcare specifically. I think all of that is going to make it very difficult to get major changes to, say, severance taxes, royalties, rentals, and bonuses through the legislature this time around.
You say there's going to be a shortfall this year, but the state constitution does not allow an unbalanced budget. How do we get past that?
Well, the way you get past that is that whatever shortfall we run into towards the end of the year has to be taken care of in the next fiscal year. So if there's, say, a $300 million shortfall this year, then this late in the year, then they don't have time enough to cut it for this fiscal year. It will go into next year, and it has to be dealt with in the next 12 months. So that's going to – so the legislature – this is not a good time to be a legislator or a governor either, for that matter. They have got not only this year's shortfall, but my guess is the revenue estimating conference is going to say there's going to be a reduced budget for next year, which means they really going to have to do some cutting. So the probability, again, of a major change in severance tax is very unlikely, I think, coming into this year.
What about the oil and gas industry as a whole? Is this cratering of prices? Is this going to continue? And if so, what does that do to our economy?
Well, number one, it's one of the things that's causing the Louisiana economy to come out of it slower than the rest of the country is. I mean, we're going to be slower than Iowa, we're going to be slower than Delaware, slower than Florida. Any of these states that don't have an oil and gas industry, they're going to come in a lot quicker than we are. It's going to be interesting again to see what is going to happen to the price of oil, because we've seen it fall because of to use a technical economics term, the mother of all shifts in demand and supply curve. You had a big decrease in demand because of the coronavirus. Oil consumption worldwide is down about 30%. That's a huge decline, which drives price down. And then you had the Saudis making this remarkably dumb decision, it seems to me, back in early March, to put about 2.5 million barrels more on the market, which shifted the supply curve to the right. And so you had a big decline in price that we've seen. Now, one of the things we know that's happening that's helping on the price, we've already seen prices go up significantly in the last few days. And that is because there's been the mother of all supply curves back to the left again, because a lot of oil has been taken off the market. U.S. oil production has declined from about 12.4 down to 8.5 in just 7 weeks, 4 million barrel drop in just 7 weeks. Well, that's helping to push up the price of oil. Saudis are taking oil off the market now. The problem is there's just a huge supply still out there, still an overabundance of supply. That's filling up tanks every place. And matter of fact, we're going to run into a storage problem here very soon. And so when the economy comes out of this thing and people start driving again, we're going to have to work off all this excess supply of oil we built up before the price is really going to start popping up again. But given what's going on out there right now, I think you might see significantly higher prices as we get into the latter part of this calendar year. But in the meantime, it's going to be tough. One study I saw said that if prices stay under 40, there will be 70 bankruptcies among oil and gas extraction firms. And, of course, a lot of those are going to be in Louisiana. It's a very tough time for that industry, for sure.
What about tourism?
Yeah, tourism is going to be another issue. And that's particularly difficult for New Orleans. Matter of fact, if you look at the unemployment insurance claims, New Orleans is well out ahead of the other areas of the state, but I think primarily because of this tourism emphasis down there. And I don't know, that's also going to be a bit slow to come back, I think, because we've got to get comfortable about being around 20,000 of our closest friends. It's going to be interesting to see what the Tiger Stadium is going to be like.
All right, we'll pick up with that with Dr. Lawrence Scott. Spending a few more minutes with him. 877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number, and we return in 2 minutes. This is Jim Inkster. Coming in a few moments, we'll hear from Dr. Saul Wiener. He's a fascinating gentleman, professor of medicine, pediatrics, and medical education at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and his book is On Becoming a Healer. But right now we're finishing up with Dr. Lauren Scott, the fabled LSU economist, and he is looking for ways to heal the economy. And in Louisiana, obviously Tiger Stadium is the epicenter of Baton Rouge, that in the state capital, and you mentioned it. The 8 nights at Tiger Stadium, I believe, produce about $50 million in revenue for the athletic department, 50, that is, 5-0 for eight dates. But it also produces an inordinate amount of activity in the economy as a whole. Can you see a world where we don't have football, or if we do, we don't have fans? What do you think?
Goodness, I mean, that is That is hard to imagine, isn't it? Again, it's going to be interesting to see when we look back in September on our conversation today about whether we were thinking that we really overestimated the power of this thing or we're in the worst shape that we can imagine. I don't know. I think it's not going to be a stadium full of fans for sure. But I think my guess is we're still going to have football, and the football is vitally important to the athletic department because it is football revenues that basically support all the other athletic events that we activities we have there. And I think that the athletic department may be able to absorb the fact that there's not as many people in the stands because they're going to be watching on TV, and they might get more TV money. But probably not enough to offset the lack of attendance. But I don't know. My guess right now, and it'd be a while. It's strictly a guess. I think the stand's going to be sparsely filled this coming fall.
Thank you, Dr. Scott. Always a pleasure. Appreciate it,
Jim. Thanks, bud. Bye bye.
See you soon.